Hey everyone, are you a fan of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, or Atlanta, or New Jersey, or any Bravo show in general? If you said yes, then I got a show for you. It's Bitch Sesh, a Real Housewives breakdown show. And even if you're not, this show is still for you. It's kind of like How Did This Get Made for reality TV and gossip. We originally launched a show a couple years ago. It's hosted by Casey Wilson and Danielle Schneider. It's our sister show, I would say. And each week they serve dish on the wildest moments from their favorite Bravo shows. They answer all your burning Housewives questions. They drink Housewives branded wine and bring on some super special guests like Lauren Lapkus, Adam Pally, June Diane Raphael, and more. So even if you're not a Housewives fan, this show might become one of your faves because it's like reading Star Magazine or something like that. You get into it. I'm into it. I love it. Listen to Bitch Sesh every Thursday, soon to be every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Like a Philip K. Dick story that was deleted, we saw Free Jack, so you know what that means.
How did Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a photo speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth!
That's a good look, Arena.
And hello, people of New York City! We are here, and we are so excited to be a town hall part of the New York Comedy Festival to talk to you about a very important movie. Free Jack, it is our future. Why did we pick Free Jack in New York? Well, because there's no better New York movie than Free Jack. This movie lives and breathes New York. It's like a Woody Allen movie where New York is a character. New York is Free Jack. Ladies and gentlemen, to talk to me tonight about this movie, my co-host, please welcome Jason Mantzoukas! What's up, jerks? New York City! How you feeling? How's that balcony? That's right. I tried to make the balcony tops off exclusive. Shot down.
They are bottoms off, though. That's the cool thing. It makes people more comfortable because you can't readily see it. Jason,
Paul,
Free Jack.
Hoo, Free Jack.
I will tell you that seeing this commercial on TV as a child, I thought I was in store for a race car movie of some kind. I thought that race car driving
neither Free nor Jack connotes a race car. Because he's a race car driver.
Yes,
I think.
When I was a kid in the commercials, I didn't see this movie in the theater, thank God. But when I saw the commercials, it felt like he's a race car driver and he's in the future. And I was like, oh, when I was first watching it, I was like, oh, well, clearly they're going to use his body as a race car driver. No.
You thought they were going to turn his O to like race in the future. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I assumed at the beginning. I was like, oh, there must be some sort of future race. They need him to win.
100%. 100%.
Some sort of master race. That they're trying to get to for some sort of, I don't know, like final solution to a problem. That stuff both sounds familiar, though.
this is an interesting movie. Mick
is
Jagger.
Is it, though?
Is it interesting?
I'm not sure.
I know for a lot of people, you know, they always say, well, I would love to see Mick Jagger and Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins, share the screen. And you finally get that here. Our guest co-host, you know her from episodes like Pluto Nash. She is fantastically funny and amazing actress, comedian. Please welcome Jessica St. Clair!
Woo! Woo! Yes!
Oh, yes! A high kick! A high kick!
For those of you listening, Jessica just performed a high kick on the level of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's all right.
When earlier when we showed the Jean-Claude Van Damme buns thing, ooh, and he was doing the splits, you said, I can do that. So, if you wouldn't mind.
Come on, man.
Do not be.
I don't want to make everybody feel pressure. Bad they can't do it here. Also, I don't want to break my vagina wide open.
Yeah.
That was what would happen.
Who knows
what would come out?
You don't want anything to fall out or jump in.
Why would you try to jump in?
I'm not saying me, but
I guarantee
one of these weirdos would be like, fuck it, I'm getting
Woo!
In there. Ooh, I want to come out like a little baby. I want Jesse to be my mommy.
And then you would have to take care of the audience.
I'd have to care for it.
For 18 years.
Yeah.
Until Jessica,
36.
I know that you have strong opinions about movies that take place in the future.
Specifically dystopian futures.
Sick.
They make
I
you sick.
I knew it. You guys gave me a couple movies to watch this weekend, and I thought one of them's going to be in the goddamn future, and there's going to be trash can fires and people with their boobs out hanging out of windows and stupid cars.
In this instance,
dumb haircuts.
The boobs are all painted, which was weird.
Yeah.
I didn't care for that.
Fucking weird.
You know what You know what I don't want on my boobs?
Paint.
A bunch of fucking paint.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell it to Mystique.
I don't like unattractive.
You know what? I will tell it to Mystique. Where is she? Ladies and gentlemen, Mystique. Yeah.
The actual Mystique, not the actress that played her in the movie. Just somebody morphs into like a blue creature in the front
row. The actual Raven. Actual Mystique. Doesn't matter. Let's keep moving.
Tonight we have a very special guest. She is amazing. She is an author, wrote a book called You Can't Touch My Hair and Other Things I Still Have to Explain. She is one of the co-hosts of the Two Dope Queens podcast, also the So Many White Guys podcast. Please welcome Phoebe Robinson. Welcome, wow. Phoebe.
Thank you.
So excited to have you here.
I'm pumped. I should have worn my shapewear. I didn't prepare for this. Got a little poof here. A little foo baby.
So do I, and it's cut, I feel like I need to let a button
behind,
open,
like,
you know what I mean?
Like a weekend
but then what are you
desk?
Bastards are trying to crawl in my vest?
One lucky audience member is going to get to crawl into St. Clair's vagina and live there for one day. And then we are going to deliver you tomorrow like a baby, swaddle you, sleep train you.
That's right.
You're like talking about things that like really rich men on the Upper East Side do. Like ooh, I want to be swaddled. I want to be swaddled.
Yep, and sleep trained.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Free Jack. Is this a type of movie that you're interested in? Or where does this fall on your scale of movies? Do you like future movies? Do you like
I like future movies, but I was watching this and I was like, this got made so easily, and we still don't have like a Harriet Tubman biopic. Like, I don't know what
exactly.
We're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come
Where's
on.
My Eleanor Roosevelt film?
Right?
Right?
Come on now.
This movie was made in 1992, which even seems like, wow, this, it feels more 80s than
that.
Yeah.
I am shocked to find that out.
Yeah.
That is. I would have put this at like an 84 max.
Yeah.
But I
this...
do believe that until 1994, no one asked questions. It was like, here's a script. Okay, we'll make it.
Yeah.
Like it was no But it was like, yeah, we're making these shitty movies that just kind of happen.
I got anxious during the credits because the names that were being thrown out there were very incongruous. Is that the word? It was Emilio Estevez. Okay.
Okay, for the
Men
time.
Men at Work.
Okay.
Mighty like Ducks. That. No? Yes?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, like, The Breakfast Club.
Great, The Breakfast Club. Mick Jagger, weird. Okay. Rene Russo. And then Anthony Hopkins.
Great.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
You should have known that that was a bad stew.
Yeah, that's a bad episode of The Love Boat. I mean, that is. Those people do not go together.
On that, I will disagree. That is
that might be
the greatest episode of The Love Boat.
I would say it's the greatest episode of Fantasy Island. Bad episode of Love Boat.
This movie could have been Fantasy Island. No.
Guy with one.
Let's just sit with this.
Yeah.
Let's just enjoy this silence together.
So the movie was made in 1992, but it takes place in 2009. And right out of the gate, I'm like, I feel uncomfortable. I don't like Emilio's relationship with Rene Russo at all.
I thought it was so cute.
You liked it.
I thought it was cute. I was like, yes, he's showing thigh meat. She's like into him. I liked it.
Her bangs are bigger than his head in the first scene.
Yeah.
And her gigantic scrunchie.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in that mommy relationship.
Yeah.
She's a full head taller than him.
Yeah.
And she's in flats.
Yeah. I think at a certain point he might have come out of her vagina.
Absolutely.
Well, what I thought was interesting too was clearly, at one point, they did reshoots, and they didn't care to match her hair. Like, because in the first part of the movie, you see her, and she's got something going on with these bangs. And then later on, in the same scene, she's wearing a hat, and it's almost as if she went to, like, got her hair done between Emilio, like, leaving her and Sherm watching him at the track. But no effort to fix continuity.
Well, and then 18 years later, she looks exactly the same.
Yeah,
yeah. You know? No one aged.
She ages. She's meant to have aged 18 years.
Yes. She's got good genes. I was into it. I'm team Rene Russo all the way.
By the way, I am also, I like Rene Russo. I didn't think that she was good enough for, or I didn't think that Emilio was good enough for her.
Okay.
I think she's,
I was fully on board for, like, her being, like, over him.
Yeah.
When he gets to the future, I feel like she should have been like, well, I'm in love with, like, a normal person now.
Yeah.
Not, like, the young boy that you still are.
Yeah.
Like, their relationship in the future is arguably inappropriate.
Yeah. No, I think it's okay because he's like early 20s. I just hated when they reunited on the bed and she was like, I'm older now. And it's like, fuck you.
But like, I think we can all agree the idea of like an older woman and a younger man is gross.
Yeah.
And if you reverse it, like an older man and a younger woman.
Cute.
Hot.
Cool.
Hot.
Very cool.
Cool, so ladies.
But there was a line that he said to her, like in that bedroom scene,
yeah.
where he was like, what happened to us? Oh, the 18 years that you weren't here, that kind of happened to us. Like, he seemingly has no consequence to it.
When they are having sex in that scene, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the things they flash to is his car exploding.
Was that a flash?
So while they're having sex, one and or both of them
are thinking
are
about
coming
that.
While thinking about his death. That is the only assumption I can make due to that particular bit of visual juxtaposition.
I feel like they were like, we spent so much money blowing up this car.
Yeah.
We're going to cut to it at least 8 times.
Yeah, half.
Like, we got to get our money's worth on one special effect. Like, because they cut to it, like, even at the end when he's merging brains with Anthony Hopkins.
On the giant jack?
Yeah.
The giant toy of a jack?
Like, there was an episode, I'm dating myself and saying that, like, I watched this episode of Happy Days one time, where, like, Mork and the Fonz like changed brains, and the instrumentation in that episode looked more like
that.
Futuristic than what was going on in this movie that took place in 1992. But like, even in that sequence, he only flashes to such a small part of his life, the car crash being a majority of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it's like no images from him being a child. It was just like
they didn't want to shoot it.
72 hours.
They didn't want to shoot it. He could only have flashbacks to things we've already seen.
They should have just put a onesie on him, and I would have bought him as a baby because he's so fucking tiny.
Stop explaining your sexual fantasies to us.
Are you saying that Emilio Estevez, full-size Emilio, should yeah. be in a onesie?
Yes. Yeah,
I love it.
And I would buy it as a baby.
I also would have loved it if there was just a quick shot of Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Speaking of just things that didn't really work here, I'm going to go out and say that Mick Jagger, not a helmet guy. I don't think he can pull off the helmet.
I love that. That's your takeaway from the performance. The helmet's not right, but everything else great.
Oh, the performance besides the helmet was on the.
It was reminiscent of when Mike Dukakis wore a helmet on that tank.
No.
And because it's also similarly little guy, big helmet.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like incongruous.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? If you listen, because Mick Jagger doesn't have a lot of lines, right? Which is fine. And I think he does have a great stage presence. Okay, I think we can all agree on that. But most of the audio in his scenes is the sound of leather on leather. It's just like, squeak, 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 squeak. And then he's like, I'm going to get you. Squeak.
I mean, he is wearing... Like, I don't think that he was costumed as much as, like, I'm like, if you told me every outfit in this movie he wore, like, on, like, the Voodoo Lounge tour, I'm like,
he brought it. Yeah.
That's, like, Mick Jagger's wardrobe. Like, he didn't seem futuristic, because I'm like, he wears all that leather all the time. But maybe that lapel is a little bit different, but besides that. But I found it weird. Like, he was the bad guy.
Bad guy was he?
He was working for Anthony Hopkins, number two.
Yes.
For Hopkins, because Hopkins calls him off after he...
From Mike Ehrmantraut from Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Okay, so he was working for, what's his name, James...
Jonathan Banks.
Jonathan Banks.
Who is also working for Hopkins,
so
right?
So they're both working for Hopkins, but Jonathan Banks is making a power grab.
Yes, he's going
because
rogue.
At a certain point, Jonathan Banks' guys were all in blue suits and had laser guns, and Mick Jagger's group had, like, normal guns and were in black suits.
That's right.
And I was like... Who are these fucking other guys?
Yeah.
I thought we had like one bad guy, and now I don't know what's doing.
Well, there's a lot going on that I think is unsaid, because like Mick Jagger to me and Emilio, they have this like adversarial relationship, but they've never met. You know, it's like, aha, what do you think now for Furman or whatever
Furlong.
His name?
Furlong. Isn't Sorry, that what Furlong. Happens when you get laid off a government job? Furlough? Is that Furlough?
Furlough. Yeah.
But his name is Furlong.
Furlong. Yeah. Like
they
Furlong.
Also, in one point, make the joke of both his name being Furlong and then the words forlong, which I thought was really weird.
Like, you won't be Furlong for long.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was some version of the joke. I hated this movie.
Yeah.
I just wrote down... I just wrote down, like, this is your two lead characters. Like, it's Vincendick and Furlong. It's like, oh, these are not like...
The worst names. They're hard to pronounce. I felt like Mick Jagger was just doing an impression of Fred Armisen impersonating him. Like, it made no sense. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Well, this is, by the way, bringing this up, Avril Haley, who pulls all of our clips, found this great interview of Mick Jagger that explains... why he did this movie.
For the money!
And I will say that this is, I think there was a time before publicists came in to be like, oh, no. No.
We're not going to ask that.
And this falls in that, like, right at the end of it. So, and I'll say this, the clip works in a wave. You'll think it's over, and then it's going to pop in for the end. Here we go.
Oh. Been over 20 years, but he told Garrett Glazer that his decision to do it was rather spur of the moment.
Right now I'm working on a solo album project, and just before that started, they said, we would like to do this feature, and I said, let me see it. So they said, well, we've got to know by next week, because it starts shooting in 3 weeks. So I said, okay, I'll do it. So probably if I had 6 months to think about it, I probably would have turned it down and said, oh, no, it's not quite the one I want.
Emilio Estevez, what was it like working with him?
I enjoyed working with him. I thought it was really good fun guy. We went out a few times, went to a few strip clubs in Atlanta.
Did you?
That's what people do in Atlanta. He's going perfectly okay, darling. I'm off to the strip club after work.
Oh, shit.
He went to strip clubs in Atlanta.
In Atlanta with Emilio Estevez.
He likes the dark chocolate. That's tight. That's tight. That's cool.
Mick Jagger's like, we went to Magic City. I made it rain. We went to the Claremont and did all that nonsense. It was pretty extensive.
Now that I know it was shot in Atlanta, I don't know why it makes me even sadder for Mick, because he signs on to a movie. Right. He has to be in Atlanta. It's all night shoots. You know what I mean? And that's right. Why he never did another movie. That's like he never appeared in another film. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the research in front of me, but I don't think so. Yeah.
That's it for him.
I think he did one other movie.
And in all honesty, I think it's obvious, and we can all agree, I suspect everybody in this room, he kind of nailed it and doesn't ever need to perform again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think Daniel Day-Lewis is currently like, okay, this new movie, this PTA movie, is it. I'm donezo.
Right.
This is as good as it's going to get. I can retire. Mm-hmm. Mick Jagger watches this movie, and he's like, fucking crushed it.
There is no role greater than Vesendik.
I will just keep making very mediocre Rolling Stones records.
What the fuck are you talking about, man? Their latest stuff is better than any of that early stuff.
Ay, ay, ay.
There's like one thing in this movie, there's a lot of things, but the cliche that I always love is when someone comes in from another time and it's nighttime, they don't recognize that the world has changed around them.
Yeah.
Like Marty McFly does that in like Back to the Future 2. It's like his house has like bars on it and he's like, huh, just walks in. Like, Emilio's mind is like, I left my apartment this morning and there weren't trash can fires and my building wasn't burnt out. But again, it's nighttime, so I'm not really pulling it all in. I've done a lot of stuff at night. I am not losing all my surroundings. Like, if I came home and my house is like slightly on fire and I'm like, I don't remember that graffiti on my front door. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, I guess it has kids. You know, like, but like when he goes home, like he's running through the street.
People are shooting at him?
Yeah.
He is like, does he first find Amanda Plummer's nun?
Or no, after? I think he goes home first.
He goes home first.
Okay.
He goes to Julie's. Yes. Is that her name?
Julia?
Yeah, that's his house, yeah.
I was convinced when the door opened it was going to be an old Rene Russo in old lady makeup. And I was very happy that wasn't the case.
It was just this old black couple like, you're a free jack. And I was like, Jesus. You got to work in the title like that. You a free jack. Oh,
by the way, they have to work in the title so many times because the title don't make any fucking sense.
Can you?
Like,
yeah,
it should be like, you're a body jacker. Like, body jacker is a
like
thing.
Like a hijack?
Free jack.
You've hijacked
what
a body?
What is it? Yeah, it's like they bring people at the moment they're going to die to the future so that the rich can transfer their consciousness into those bodies to gain immortality-ish, right?
But what does that mean? You never age?
But why are they free? Is it because they're not paying for it?
Like, but first of all, they're called, like, the free jacking, I guess, is like you're free jacking, you're like, it's, you're freely taking someone's life.
You guys, just stop. It's not worth it, y'all.
No. We're going to get to the bottom of this. So, I'm Anthony Hopkins. I'm like, okay, I'm dying. I need a young body to transfer my consciousness into.
I like that
so
idea.
So I can continue to live. Got it.
Right.
What's that person called that we're bringing from the past till now? Okay. Huh. Free Jack? Why? Don't know. It just came to me.
It should
done.
Be like Free Lifer, Body Jack. Like, yeah. It should be called Body Jack.
How about a new guy?
New guy?
Blank slate.
Yeah.
How about tabula rasa?
But all right. Well, as we're figuring out that, why is Mick Jagger's people called Bone Jackers?
Why are
that
they called Bone
crazy.
Jackers?
They're not jacking.
For a brief moment, I thought they were called Bone Jaggers.
Bone Jagger. That's a good name to call somebody.
I was furious. I was like, fuck you, movie. I already hate you, and now you've got something called Bone Jaggers that Mick Jagger runs? Fuck you.
By the way, I would have loved that in the future Mick Jagger is a, a bone jack. Like, he was like,
yeah.
I left music behind after my solo album, and now I'm just this. I'm this guy. But I thought Body Jacker, again, that's what he should be. He's the body jacker.
Like, you're hijacking someone's body.
Yeah.
Body jack. That works better than food jack.
Can I just ask a question, though? Because so...
But that also has, like, vaguely sexual connotations to it.
A bone jacker?
Yeah, and
a
body
jacker.
Yeah,
I want a bone jacket to you.
Oh, man.
Bone like jacker she... is bone jacker is much more sexual than body jacker.
Body jack, I'm like, I get it. I thought Emilio's name was going to be Jack.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Alex, and I was like, I'm immediately, like, thrown for a loop. Like, I had to recover for several
and
minutes.
And everybody knows. Everybody knows, because those people that he goes to the apartment to find, they're like, you're a free Jack. So that's something that exists enough. Like, do we ever meet another free Jack?
No, but it seems like this is the first time a free Jack has gone wrong.
Yes.
So why do they want to kill you, though?
They want to just capture
you. They need the body.
But why does... So, for instance, the couple that says, you're a free Jack, get out of here. Why do they want to kill... Why don't they want to have any association with him?
Because people are no doubt coming for him, probably.
Yeah, if they give him, if they
he's
hide
probably
him.
Bringing trouble.
I think you're probably told, like, you can't hang with free jackers.
All right.
There's a, I mean,
don't
look.
Know. We're filling a lot of holes here. It's.
Pretty... I mean, it, like, to me, I feel like it is like that future jargon that someone's like, yeah, free jack. Phone jacker. Got it, got it. Like, you know, it's like control alt save. You know, it's like, we got it. It's good.
But what made
the eggheads figure this out.
What made it hard was that, like, it was that, what's his name, Jonathan Banks, had his own army that was called something else. And so they were constantly all showing, it was very muddy to me because they were all constantly showing up at all the same fights.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell, like Mick Jagger's guys were shooting Jonathan Banks' guys. And I was like, I think they're working for the same people. I don't know. I didn't like this movie.
No.
Hey, everybody. I love SeatGeek. It is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets for every type of live event. I've used it in multiple cities. It's convenient. There's no muss. There's no fuss. You're not going to get cheated. You're not going to pay crazy high prices. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal or the perfect gift, SeatGeek will help you find the best seats at the best prices. I love the way the interface works, how the map is so convenient. I have it on my phone, and it's the easiest way I've ever found to shop for tickets. It is built for, like, oh, shit, Jay-Z's playing tonight. Let's get tickets. I actually use SeatGeek to get Hamilton tickets for June's birthday. That was the best birthday gift I could possibly give her. She loved them. It was so easy. How can I tell you more that I love this app? But here's the thing. Every purchase fully guaranteed, so you can shop on confidence. And it's the go-to app for the best deals on every type of tickets. Sports, comedy, music, whatever. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Hey, SeatGeek, where's my discount on those Hamilton tickets? I never got a discount. Anyway, download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code BONKERS. That's BONKERS. That's promo code BONKERS, BONKERS, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And here's how I'm going to tell you how to use it. Just Google what's going on in your area and then get a ticket for it that night. I saw Jay-Z twice. Saw him in Montreal and I saw him here in L.A. Bought one of those on SeatGeek. For like $50 for a seat night of. So good. All right.
There was also, talking about weird names, the spiritual switchboard.
Yeah.
Which.
Got a lot of questions about this.
Yeah.
So the spiritual switchboard is literally a place where I guess your body is held in spiritual stasis? Or I guess.
You can switch. So minds?
Yeah,
that's
so I
where
guess
the
you
minds
bring
are
a free
switched.
You'd bring a brain dead free jacker in there.
Yeah.
And then you make them touch the jack. Oh, maybe the giant jack is a free jack.
Yeah.
No. Holy shit.
Guys.
That or the costume or that would be like the art department's like. Free jack. Make it a big jack.
No, I think that's why it's in the shape of a jack. That's fucking so stupid. This is like as revelatory as the Rudy
and reindeer
games reveal. That is, if that's why it's in the shape of a jack, I'm now incensed.
Full disclosure, my computer ran out of power right after Anthony Hopkins said I did it because I was in love with you, which I thought, oh, I get that.
Can you fast forward, Paul, to the end where we
but
see the
jag? But then you told me nothing else happens that is of interest after that. And that it turns out the entire movie comes together in a gigantic jag, so fuck you.
Well, I mean, the free jag happens and then this scene happens after the free jag.
You're no longer needed here, asshole. The canvas is no more.
Wait.
That's the jack.
There's the jack.
Oh, it's been blown up. It's been blown up.
Nice try, Mark. But I made it. I completed the transfer.
Don't you give me that shit.
Shoot him, Vicendic. Tried to assassinate me.
Take orders from a free jack? Is he McCandless?
Damn it, of course I'm McCandless.
Could be. We've completed transfers in that time, and we've had him take longer. I don't know.
He is lying. You check his ID number. You check his personal ID number. Only McCandless would know that.
What the fuck is going on?
This is so stupid.
Six.
What?
Correct.
Wait, I don't...
Six. His person, and I know, I do know, moments later he does say some more numbers, but when he said six and Mick Jagger said correct, I almost jumped out a window. I was like, you fucking movie just ruined my life. What's his personal ID number? In the future, six.
Yes.
By the way, also... Loving the choice in that scene where Emilio is kind of doing a British accent, but kind of not.
Yeah.
Like, it's like walking a line, like, I'm affecting something.
Right.
But you're not going to be able to figure it out exactly. But if you jumped in someone else's body, you wouldn't just bring your accent with you.
Yeah, it makes no
Wait,
sense.
Wait, so in that scene, is he in someone else's... Is who?
Oh, well, that... All right, so you think he is, see, and then this is the final scene.
You told me nothing happens. You said, don't worry about it. Nothing happens.
I thought it would be better for
if
this
I didn't
to happen.
Know what the fuck was going on?
I chose the show.
So this is how the movie ends.
Oh, by the way, why are they in an antique car?
I mean, there's...
What? Why? What the fuck is that about?
There's so much stuff going on with this.
And they're also dressed old-timey.
It's so stupid. And the driver of the car was also, like, in an old-timey outfit as well. Here we go.
Nibble my ear.
Ew! Ew! Ew!
Wait a minute, how'd you get the ID number right?
Ew!
He didn't. I lied.
What?
He wasn't close.
The fuck out of here.
What?
Are we really gonna do this?
Stranger things have happened. Now come on, buckle up. Let's see what this baby will do.
Not much.
How dare you?
And not much, because it's a very old car.
How dare you?
And by the way, that's the way the movie ends.
Hey, I just want to say this. The audacity to think that Nibble on My Ear was so important to the audience to fucking bring it back at the end. Like, see a nice button? We all get it. No.
Wait.
I would
have
loved it if he was like, if he was like, you're dumped. You're dumped. You're too old for me. It's gross. Like, I just won. I'm like, I'm in the future now.
I got a lot of options.
You're dumped. I got shit going on. You know, I'm a free jack. Ladies love a free jack.
Why is Mick Jagger their friend now?
That's the relationship that makes no sense.
Yeah.
They're adversarial, like, aha, you're a good... But there's no basis to why they're against each other, why they're for each other.
I get why he says... I can understand the logic of saying, Emilio Estevez says the number, and he says he's right, so they can shoot Jonathan Banks.
Right.
Got it, okay? Because that's his main competitor at right. that point. But why keep these two dildos alive? Why not just kill them as well and because seize power?
Because he showed him humanity. Yeah. In this future world, people kill all the time. And Emilio was like, you know what, buddy? I'm not going to kill you. And then...
Wait, Emilio could have killed Mick?
Yeah. That's why Mick Jagger does that thing. He's like, I'm going to give you a 5-minute head start. And then starts counting by seconds.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. He's like, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi.
He's just counting to 300 with his hands over his eyes.
I was
his
like,
whole team would lost respect for him. Like,
I was like, all I want in this movie is for this 5 minutes to be in real time. Yeah.
333
Mississippi. 334 Mississippi. Yeah, we gotta go. We gotta go. I told them I'd give them five minutes.
Like, I also wrote down, like, this is like, I wrote down that this movie felt like every scene was like, someone off camera is like, you know what, don't do it at full speed. We'll just do it, just say the lines.
Right.
Just say the lines. We're just gonna, like, rehearse it. We're just going to rehearse it.
Yeah, you guys had a long night at Temptations. You know, Mick is scratching, and we're not sure.
It all just seems like sleepy. I mean,
it does.
Maybe that's what it is, the nights at strip clubs with Mick Jagger. Like, come to set a little punchy. Like
a little loose.
I will tell you this, 40% of the movie was reshot.
What?
What? Yeah. So you're telling me there's a worse version of this movie?
By the way,
that exists.
Not worth it.
No.
The movie had a terrible test screening, and Emilio said that the director focused too much on action, so they brought in the producer to add more character and humor, and they wound up reshooting 40% of the movie. 40%. And this producer who didn't go on to direct anything else after that, that's what he did. 40%.
Ooh, that is such a waste of money. Just be like, you know, well, let's cut our losses.
Just release it.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, and by the way, what's so wrong about action? Like that seems to me like, okay, like, oh, the movie was all action. Okay, I'm down with it.
I will say this. I didn't buy Emilio as an action star. No. So when he kept running, I'm like, that's not him running.
He doesn't seem like a tough guy at all.
No.
He also never seemed really scared. Yeah. He never, like, when he's supposed
cocky.
To, when he's supposed to be like, what's going on in the world? Instead of being like, really, he's kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
As if, like, he came home and his roommates had, like, rearranged the furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, everything, his level is that level of, like,
He's like that guy you break up with because you're just like, I just want to see some life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And?
And what?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No life
exactly.
from him. He's like, I get it.
Yeah. But
the guy that I want to see a whole movie about is Boone, Rene Russo's bodyguard.
Driver, yeah. always in a turtleneck.
That guy's so the best. Great. Lethal Weapon, Die Hard.
Yep.
Kills it. He... fucking carries a samurai sword and a machine gun.
Yeah,
that guy's the best.
I was very confused where that samurai sword came from and when he did the training for that move. That was fucking insane.
He was shot. Then they take a moment. Like, they really, like, the camera's like, let's enjoy this moment where you massacre someone.
Yeah.
Like, and he just takes out that sword. He's like, ugh! And you feel it plunge in to this dead man. I love that guy. Boone.
I would have watched a whole movie about that guy.
Me too.
And so much more than Emilio Estevez.
Boone did do one suspect thing, which was like he held his gun up, like in the like his arm was like that. I feel like that's not a good position. Like if you're like
someone can get it out. Of
yeah. Yeah. You should maybe be like this. Yeah, you know. Like, yeah. Because like. It just seems like an odd position. But you know what? He's the fucking best.
He's directing himself in these scenes,
Let me ask you this, because this is really confused me. So he is guarding Rene Russo.
Yes.
Who is working for Anthony Hopkins.
But she doesn't realize that Anthony is Bad News Bears.
Okay, because... So isn't every single character in the movie
working for
with
him.
The exception of Emilio Estevez.
Yes.
Working for Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
No matter what uniforms they're wearing, no matter who they're fighting, no matter what's going on, they're all on the same side.
Some guys are
except
on,
for him.
Yes. Some guys are on the books. Some yes. guys are off the books.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all...
Their communication, their phone tree is terrible. They're not communicating well at all. They're like shooting each other, and instead should be like, wait, same side, same side. Let's team up. We can get them if we team up. No, we're going to massacre each other? Okay, cool, fine.
It's like playing like a multiplayer like Halo game or something. It's like, we're all on the same team, but then you're getting a lot of friendly fire.
What was up with the suicide?
I wrote that down.
What is that?
A billboard that just... advertises suicide.
Yeah. I think it was like maybe like a suicide hotline or something. Awareness.
Was it awareness?
Because I think, okay. Let's go back, but I think it was suicide awareness, which I'm like, this is not very suicide assistance. Oh, that's fucking weird.
I mean.
So it's like,
so they're cavorting
like
it up.
Yeah, like a future.
That's what
in
they think 2009 is just like suicide assistance all over the fucking place.
And it was, and I looked at it, it was like, it felt like it was written in the Coke font. Yeah. So it was like, oh, suicide is as big as Coke in 2009.
Yeah.
Which it was.
And why? Battery Park is so close to Park Slope, right?
No.
Well, I mean, they're just across, right?
Yes.
Yet Battery Park is trees.
So Tony.
It's just bizarre
and
that
Park
they're not
Slope,
sharing
as you all know, as New Yorkers, is not a nice place to live.
No.
Park Slope, between being like in Hal Ashby's The Landlord, like a very downtrodden neighborhood, to 2009 in this movie, undergoes like a real up and down.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Fabergé eggs?
Yeah, that is...
You know what? In 80s movies, they're always stealing Fabergé eggs.
Risky business out
Risky
of Fabergé eggs.
Risky business, yeah.
I feel like there's been other Fabergé eggs. I feel like... But
when did we
Fabergé
as a cult...
Eggs, do you know, like, our Fabergé eggs, they're not made of... They're not eggshells, right?
No.
Right, because that
crack
crunch
so easily.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, get out of my office, God damn it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, no, I feel like that would be a heavy...
Yeah.
We're Fabergé eggs.
Like, just catch it and then put it back on your desk.
Why do they...
Maybe a jewel falls out of it.
But it's intact.
Yeah.
That fell apart.
Maybe the side plot is that he bought some bad Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
Why have we decided...
My kid made that!
Why have we decided that Fabergé eggs are the universal symbol of something priceless?
I think my relatives in South Philly had a couple of those Fabergé eggs.
Wait, no. What?
Nope.
Yes, right?
Nope.
Wow.
With like the Limoges, you know, like,
they
like
did
the
not.
Shepherd girl.
With a shepherd girl? No, they had like Yadro figurines.
Yadros, isn't that the same as a Fabergé egg? What are you? You're acting like seen one. Where have you seen a Fabergé egg?
Where?
Your family.
Never.
Like, imported them.
No
from
family
Greece.
Has. Nobody has Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
Have you lost your mind? You're saying like, oh, my family had Fabergé eggs and Hummel figurines. Same. Are you insane? That is categorically impossible. Fabergé eggs are
Google
something
it, Paul.
That
Google
only
I did.
How
Fabergé
fucking expensive is a Fabergé
egg? Were
egg?
Made between 1885 and 1917.
Okay.
They were made for the Russian czars, Alexander III, Nicholas II, as Easter gifts for their wives and mothers.
How many of them are in South Philly? Just a quick count. How many are currently
you don't know where
in
I come
South
from.
Philly?
I will tell you this. So there are 65 known Fabergé eggs.
Okay, I get it now.
Oh, okay, great.
Only
57
have survived to the present day.
Okay.
10 are displayed in the Kremlin.
Okay.
So that leaves how many? That leaves some 40 odd.
So,
oh, yes, you are so wrong.
I'm so sorry.
You're incredibly wrong. You are outrageously wrong.
Wait a second.
You just said on the podcast, I think my family in South Philly has a couple of Fabergé eggs at their home in South Philly. Let me just say something. Yins don't have any Fabergé eggs in South Philly.
I will say that Wikipedia...
Don't worry about it, hon.
Wikipedia does account for every single one, but...
except for one!
There is one that was just found in the U.S.
At Grandma St. Clair's house.
And bought by a private collector. The third Imperial Easter
it's
egg
you.
Of 1887
it's
was
recently.
It's not me.
You that has
it's
it.
Not me. I'm allergic to eggs.
You have it. That's the irony. You just sit there petting it. Oh, my egg. Oh, you hatched tonight.
So are we convinced that you don't have any Fabergé eggs?
Yeah. Why? Yeah. I don't have an
have
egg.
We settled that? Do we want to? Should we get your South Philly family on the phone? They're like, oh, Jessica, those are some, like, what are they, tender memories, or what are those called?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. When you go to the Hallmark store,
yeah.
And you're just like...
when you go to the Hallmark store and you buy a Fabergé egg. When you go to a Spencer Gifts and you get a Fabergé egg, and you put it on your mantle like a fucking moron, have you lost your mind?
I put my Fabergé egg next to my statue of Jesus playing hockey.
Yeah.
It's really
yeah,
lovely.
next to my trophy that says most meals with dad. A trophy I earned.
Fine.
Guys, we're having fun.
God.
What if when he grabbed the egg, he was like, I got this from the Sinclair family in South Philly.
You guys don't know.
Isn't that one of the new plot lines of the next Indiana Jones movie?
Yeah.
is that Indiana Jones is trying to break into a house in South Philly to fucking get one of the only unaccounted for Fabergé eggs?
We may have our couches covered in plastic still, but we also have Fabergé eggs. Suck my dick.
You're living a lie.
There are two characters that I want to talk about, and I feel like I'll just play this clip, and then we'll talk about it. Here we go.
I have to watch this again.
Great.
Oh, the River Rat.
This guy, the River Rat. God.
The ancient riddle. What's the point? Have you ever seen an eagle flying back to his home with dinner from the missus and all the little eagle babies? And he's flying against the wind, and he's flying in rain, and he's flying through bullets and all kinds of hell. And then right at that moment that he's about to get back to his nest, he says, oh, what the fuck? It's a drag being an eagle. And right then, two little X's comes across his eyes, just like in the old-fashioned cartoons, and he goes plunging down and down and down, and bam! It's just a splatter of feathers. And then we don't have the national bird of America. Did you ever see that?
No.
Me neither. Eagles got...
By the way, that's clearly a reshoot scene, right?
Yes.
That was a scene that they were like, that fills up 2 minutes. All right, great. Right. But monologue plays nothing to the movie.
What does it
amazing.
Mean?
It means nothing.
Nothing, right?
I am adding that to my list of monologues that I do at auditions.
Yes!
In addition to the one from Miami Connection about the guy that gets the letter.
Yes.
And now this, because these are unbelievable.
That guy, I mean, the River Rat guy, I mean, it literally, like, I can't think of a scene that has less to do with anything. There is, it's just sort of like a character moment. It's a weird, like...
What do you think he's telling?
What's the metaphor?
Yeah, what's he trying to communicate? Yeah.
I don't know.
Does anybody know, nerds? Hold on. Let's go to this guy. This guy looks like a... He's wearing a shirt with a button down, so he looks pretty cool.
Say your name.
Max.
Max, okay. What does the monologue of the River Rat mean?
So he's sitting next to him, and he's complaining, and he's like, I was in the river, I'm all wet. And he's like, here's an eagle that's got a bad tooth, that's struggling, and it, like, feels sorry for itself for a second, and then dies. There's not really a connection there, but that's what he's
that
telling.
Doesn't have... He's saying, don't do that.
And he's like, you gotta, like,
so he's saying
you're gonna die, too.
He's saying, you're the eagle, you're gonna die?
No,
if
he
you
says...
you feel sorry for yourself and you sit here and you give up.
Ah, I see.
Right, but, okay. But we still have a national bird because the eagle doesn't give up. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
We what? Wow. Say it again.
USA.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could this whole thing have not been this monologue, and could he have just come upon him and he, Frankie Faison, could have gone, USA, USA, and it would have done the same
but
thing?
But to me, this movie is like Infinite Jest. You do need to, like, watch a scene, read a little bit about it, like, get to the bottom
there's
of
a
it.
Lot, there's a lot of footnotes. It's,
yeah.
Honestly, I swear to God, not one person in this room has read Infinite Jest.
My brother's favorite book.
You fucking nerds.
You're lying.
Yeah. You are lying. That those people that clapped are liars.
It's like 2,000 pages, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like 7,000 pages.
Yeah.
It never ends. But the other
and I'm just waiting for that sequel.
Oh, Jason.
What?
We shouldn't talk about it. I gotta talk.
I'm waiting for that sequel.
Jason, no. Oh,
is
Jason. No. Oh, no.
No.
No, it's not.
DFW, where's that sequel?
Oh, no. The other guy I want to talk about is
it's
Mick
called
Jagger.
Finite Jest. It's a pamphlet.
Is
I do know he's dead.
The guy who works with Mick Jagger, who has the one lens sunglass.
Yeah,
is
and by the way,
Is that Issa Morales?
Both eyes work.
Yeah, well, that was the reveal.
I thought he was gonna have no eye.
That's crazy.
I thought, like, that would be great. And they position it like, ba-ba! It's like, oh,
yeah.
He's got both eyes.
Because you know what I thought to myself is, that's a great idea. If you don't have an eye, pop out a lens, and then you don't have to worry about tying on a patch, right?
Yeah.
But no, that was just a fashion statement again.
Because for you, a lot of the stress would be the tying on of the patch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you got it, maybe it's too tight, you know?
Well, spoilers for the new Thor movie, but that patch just seems to sit there somehow without anything going around or anything.
That's weird.
Yeah, which
That's
I thought
magic.
Was weird.
That's magic.
Because everything else in the movie makes total sense.
I love what's going on True TV. They got some of my favorite shows there, and they got a brand new one that I think you're going to like. It's a new half-hour series called Laugh Mobs, Laugh Tracks. Laugh Mobs, Laugh Tracks. All right, it's executive produced by Def Comedy Jam co-creator Bob Sumner and hosted by DJ comedian Cypher Sounds. Laugh Mobs, Laugh Tracks. You got amazing new talent on there. They are great comedians that you haven't heard of. Some people that you probably recognize but don't know their names. They are hilarious. They have personal stories on everything from unsuccessful weight loss attempts to date nights gone awry with a playful remixing and reinvention of stand-up. It's very unique. It's very, very cool. It's kind of like a regular stand-up show and Def Jam kind of merged together. You got tales about janky doctors, bikini wax horror stories, and even old school beepers. The show is a unique storytelling format that really brings the comedy to life and leaves you wanting more. I swear it's a really cool format. It makes you feel like you're in clubs that I've gone to and like the UCB style stuff that feels a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more conversational. So don't miss out on Laugh Mobs, Laugh Tracks, all new Wednesdays at 11, 10 Central, only on True TV. I got to tell you about a great new show that I feel like is so right for right now. It's called Unladylike, and it is on the Stitcher Network. You want to find out what happens when women defy society's unwritten BS expectations? Well, tune in here because the hosts, Kristen Conger and Caroline Irvin, who are super smart and funny, by the way, do obsessive research to bring you surprising stories about women's lives. You'll hear stories about breaking the bronze ceiling, riding a bike without getting harassed, and how to be a business witch. Each episode, they will talk to academics, activists, and comedians to get their takes on smashing the patriarchy. Plus, you're going to get tons of comedians that you love, like Joelle Johnson and Joe Firestone. Find out what happens when women break the rules. Subscribe to Unladylike in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
We should get to the audience. So obviously, we have a lot of points, but I want to come to the audience, see what they have to think, and I'm going to ask you your name, and who would you free Jack? and your question, okay? So,
Paul, just a quick question. Just so we're clear, what is the definition of free Jack? I only say this because people can interpret it a couple of ways.
Oh, yeah, not sexually. Don't free Jack anyone sexually.
Because I've got a quick list of people I'd like to free Jack.
Nobody wants to hear it.
No, this is just... Whose body
Nobody
would you
wants
like
to
jump
hear
into?
It.
Whose
well,
body
that, exactly. Well, that's kind of what I'm talking
that
about.
That still sounds bad.
That's a lot of what I'm talking. Now, via
okay,
what...
Okay, no, well, we got to... I'll show you a picture of what I mean versus
you know
what you mean.
I'm going to send you some websites. All of you, click on them. Just blind click on everything I send.
Your name?
My name's Ryan.
Okay, and who would you like to free Jack?
I would like to free Jack... Oh, wow, that's hard. Jason Mantzoukas.
He's not dead, though. All right.
Wait, does that mean...
So you have to know it. It has to be a dead person?
That makes sense, because you'd have to... The person has to be about to die to free Jack them.
Right, and you're on death's door.
I am? Wait a minute. What's her name again?
Ryan.
What do you know?
All right, Ryan is going to free Jack Jason Mantzoukas. Your question.
So at the end of the movie, I was watching the credits, and in the credits, they have a dialogue coach for Mick Jagger.
Wait, what?
You told me there was nothing at the end of this movie.
Wait, so was he supposed to be doing who?
An American accent?
I wonder if they did an American accent and then it didn't work and they ADR'd his lines with his accent.
Well, that's
he was pulling the Emilio Estevez at the end move, where it's like, I'm kind of here and I'm kind of there. It feels like that's why his lines were a little sheepish, if you will. Like, it was like, I'm not fully here to commit to that. But why would he have to
An
accent?
That is cryptic. That's a Blake Harris question.
Yeah. All right.
Wait, yes. Can I ask a question of this girl whose name I've forgotten again?
Erin.
It's Ryan.
Ryan?
Ryan?
It's not a mutual name, so it's weird. Ryan,
what are you exactly planning to do with my body once you have it?
We'll find out.
Now I'm getting creeped out. I'll go over to the other side.
That took a turn.
Great question, Ryan.
Took a turn.
Great question.
Yeah.
All right, sir, what's your name? Who would you like to free Jack in your question?
My name's Dana, and I would free Jack Kathy Ireland right before she made... Necessary Roughness, because I think that killed her career.
Wow.
Oh. Kathy Ireland? Is that what you said?
Her underwear's okay.
Kathy Ireland, maybe her acting career, but her career is enormous. She's wildly successful.
Hey, and look, I mean, don't like... Don't judge a people's Jack, okay?
Okay,
people
all right.
People free Jack to whoever.
You're right, you're right. Don't judge the Jack.
Don't judge the Jack. Judge the game. All right, so here we go.
All right, so Mick Jagger does the handprint lie detector with the gentleman with the one-eyed lens, setting up what we think towards the end, when we have the switcheroo, it could come back into play. What happened to it?
Well, I think what we've established is that he doesn't want, he wants them to get away. He doesn't want to prove that... Right, you're saying he could have Emilio Estevez put his hand on it and say, "Who are you?" I don't think he helps.
He him wants lie. To help.
He wants to help him lie.
We still
so I think
don't
that's
know why.
Why. Although I would be willing to guess if that machine came back in the 40% of reshoots, because why set it up to not have it come back again?
What
somehow.
I was hoping was going to come back was Mick Jagger playing video games. The most simplistic video game. It, like, video games took a step back from 1992 in a major way. It was like, doot, 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 doot. It was like Pong. And he was, and I didn't see Mick Jagger's character being like, ugh, tough day of bone jacking. Let me just get on my video game machine and just crank a couple out. Sir, your name, your free Jack, and your question.
I'm Matt. I would free Jack the league, I'd like him to see. you'd free jack a TV show? Boy, we're having a lot of problems with our free jacks.
Okay, so this illustrates a central problem.
Right, we don't know what it is.
That people fundamentally don't understand free jacking to a degree that this guy, keep in mind, back row of the balcony, would like to free jack a TV show that is no longer on the air. Yeah.
Okay, sir, you'll free jack a TV show. Your question.
Can we talk about that taxi driver near the beginning?
Hang on. I have a second question.
Now.
First of all, yes, I'm his voice coach.
You sound foreign.
Yeah, I'm from Australia.
Oh, God.
Well, you dildos won't come out, so I've got to come in.
Okay, fair enough. Did you come here just for this?
I may have stayed a little bit longer just for this.
Okay, good. I'll take it. Great. Well done. Did anybody travel from farther than Australia for this show? Where? Philly!
That's the perfect answer.
Where's your egg?
Show us your eggs. Just kidding. We know they're in your ovaries.
But if you jump into Jessica, you can also get one of her eggs. All right.
I don't remember the taxi driver.
So when Emilio lands into the future, he gets into this taxi. He has to give the guy the watch. And then he figures out that he's a free jack. And then he starts to shoot him. He tries to kill him. And Emilio outruns a bullet because he's an A1 race driver, I guess.
I remember this.
It was. Yeah, I don't know why the Australian wanted to know about it, because it is a pointless scene and a pointless character. But you know what? Australians.
Your name, who you want to free jack?
That's right. Question. I'm going to war with Australia.
Hi, my name's Mel, and I would probably free jack Oscar Wilde.
Great.
He's already dead!
All right.
Oh, hey,
okay.
Mel.
Whoa.
I feel like you were going real good, and then like Emilio Estevez just crashed into the wall.
Hey, Mel, quick question. Are you mad at us?
This movie is making everybody upset. No,
but my question is, do you think this is Emilio Estevez's version of The Wraith with Charlie Sheen? Because it's so ridiculous.
What is the year? What year was The Wraith? Oh, it's
85.
Oh.
It's a bunch of years later.
What's that?
What's that?
It's Charlie
also, Sheen's
it's
riding
a, Charlie
a dragon
Sheen.
Or something?
Wait a minute. What do you think it is?
Charlie Sheen rides a dragon?
Yeah. Yep. We'll go with that.
That's
Charlie Sheen
what a wraith is.
Rides a dragon.
Isn't it?
Yep, that's what it is.
That's what a wraith is.
Do me a
is.
Favor. Rent that movie.
No way.
No, it's another like terrible sci-fi movie where Charlie Sheen sort of is in it.
What's The Wraith?
He's the Wraith.
But what does that mean?
The Wraith is like a vengeful spirit that comes back to avenge like a...
Great.
What? I think we all know it's not amazing.
Yeah.
Your name, who you free jack your question?
My name is Oliver. I'm going to free jack Kate Upton.
Oh, come on. Get out of here, Stedman. He looks like Stedman. He kind of looks like Stedman.
Wait, whoa. I'm assuming because you want to fuck that baseball player, right? Hey, guys. Let's not criticize this guy for wanting to fuck that baseball player. What's his name? Sports guy.
Verlander.
We get it. You want to fuck sports guy? Don't shame him for that.
Can we talk about how Free Jack was a prequel to Nundercover with the nun who's...
Amanda Plummer?
Packing with the New York accent and packing guns all over the place.
That was Amanda... That's Amanda Plummer, one of the greats.
Yep.
What's her name?
Amanda Plummer. She was the nun.
Okay.
She was the nun. I loved when she kicked, what's his name in the balls?
Michelette.
She kicked him so hard in the
he
balls
died.
That he like froze for like 4 seconds and then fell to the ground.
All right, front row. This is pressure's on. You got a good seat. You were here early. You got a question?
Ooh, it better be good.
Your name? Who this, you're gonna free Jack?
This better be good.
And your question?
Oh, the pressure's on.
I would free Jack Adam Sandler.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Good free Jack.
So, right before they go upstairs to the top floor, the 200th floor in that building, when they're escaping, he says, she types in the 100th floor. Mm-hmm. He's like, why are we going to the 100th floor? He's like, there's a fire escape. that's what Rene Russo says, it's a fire escape on the 100th floor.
Right.
Is it quicker to go down the fire escape on the 100th floor than just running back out like a back entrance on the first floor?
Yeah, that's a great,
great
point.
Question.
I think
I want to give you a special award.
Is the only access to the fire escape on the 100th floor? Is that what we're... Well, that's it?
My question is that anybody who is paying that much logical attention to the movie at that point, you get a special prize.
Because yeah, you do.
At that point, you're like, whatever. All right.
And I do want to say, while she's making her way in, that, guys... You're great. Everybody comes prepared.
Yeah.
People have got your notes. People have been watching parts of the movie that we're barely paying attention to. I'm talking about these people down here. You fucks are animals. But I want to say, great job, audience. New York, you really fucking showed up for this.
Yeah.
Well done. Again, I am not talking to you, Balcony, because you are filthy monsters that nobody trusts.
I did get HPV up there.
You what?
I got HPV up there.
HPV?
You got HPV? I'm surprised you only got HPV up there.
Okay. Your name, who you'd free Jack, and your question.
All right, my name's Bridget. I'd free Jack Jeff Buckley.
Okay. Nice.
Who?
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 Jeff Buckley.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
sure.
He's great.
Sure, uh-huh. Wonderful.
Finally, wonderful. We find somebody we agree on.
Wonderful. Beautiful. And an angel on earth. Lost too soon.
I'm from East Harlem, and in the beginning of the movie when Mick Jagger's in his giant truck and East Harlem is the safety zone. And it is the one part of Manhattan that has not been gentrified. And Park Slope, as we mentioned earlier, is cobblestone 1889 style. So why?
Why did that happen? Let's talk about infrastructure. Let's talk about the city.
Guys,
we'll get into it.
This is a great question, and it brings us to the part of the podcast that we all love, urban planning. We're talking about Robert Moses. We're talking about the power broker. Guys, please welcome to the stage Leonard Lopate. He's here to tell us all about New York City and how it is changing. Please welcome to the stage Brian Lehrer. Ladies and gentlemen, Manoush Samarodi. Guys, these are all WNYC jokes. You're the only people that get them. The people on the podcast can eat a dick.
I once made a Manoush Samarodi joke to dead silence, and I'm so happy.
You made it in the wrong place. This is where we make those jokes, yeah. Baby.
Sir, your name, who you'd free Jack, your question.
My name's Matt, and I want to free Jack anyone but Louis C.K.
Too topical.
Taking shots.
He went there. All right, so Kevin Spacey. Now, so your question is what?
So Emilio Estevez is getting chased, and there's all these futuristic cars everywhere and tanks, and he, a race car driver, commandeers a fucking champagne truck.
Yeah.
What is a champagne truck, and why did he take that?
Yeah, that was really interesting to me, because a champagne truck is so, like...
Ordinary.
Comical. It's almost a comical vehicle.
But that was part of the reshoot where they wanted to add humor back into the movie.
You are 100%
right. I think that's probably true.
I think that's what they did.
Yeah, because nobody drives a truck around with just loose bottles that can come flying
but
out.
But do we live in a world where... Because that truck was set up kind of like you see
the
water trucks. You know, the big jugs of water trucks. Are we to believe that in the few in 2009, champagne is just dispensed into everyone's, like, champagne's here?
Right.
Like, it's set up like the milkman's truck.
Like that,
but
poor,
it's champagne.
Like, that poor guy has to eat that dog food in that diner, which I felt so bad for him, because, you know, take after take, he had to eat that dog food.
That dude had no teeth.
I know.
He's fucking lucky to have that slop.
Are you guys talking about the famous Pork Chop Diner?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pork Chop Diner. I will say that, speaking of cars in this movie, I'll also just point out the Coke Den car that Rene Russo has, where it's like, two white leather couches.
Oh, I wanted that so bad. I thought I would look so good in something like that.
Why?
And an egg. It's like a leather egg.
I missed something.
You can drive around.
And I'm sorry, I know we're in the middle of the audience, but what I missed the Rene Russo's turn from not trusting that he was Alex to believing he was Alex.
No, she said a nipple on your ear, right? No.
No, but it was before when Mick Jagger came for Alex, then she was like, oh shit, that must be
okay,
Alex.
So that was the, okay.
Right,
okay.
So that
can
was
you remember, yeah. Jason, the amazing push freeze frame into her face?
Yeah, I guess
that
so.
Was the craziest shot I've ever seen in a movie. Like, they did two shots of her like, it was like, oh my God,
I may have been on the toilet for that scene. I may have missed it.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that have a different opinion. It is now time for second opinion.
I've got a second opinion. You have another opinion. Here's my second opinion.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Valerie, give it up for Valerie.
Amazing.
But in true New York form, we have another second opinion song. Here we go. Your second opinion song.
Gonna draw the curtains, turn off the lights. Gonna log on Amazon tonight. I'm always down for an internet fight. So there is a review I have to write. When you recommend a movie, even though it sucks, and you give 5 stars but 0 fucks, Paul's gonna find and read your review, and Zeus is gonna tell you that this movie blew. June and the guests will make fun of you too. Sorry, buddy, but the joke's on you. All in good fun. Second opinion. Second opinion.
That was amazing.
Becky and Valerie, give it up. They're amazing. Thank you both. Holy shit. That was awesome. New York bringing it in the talent department
all the
time. Bringing
it. I wanted to turn my chair around. You know what I mean?
Well,
I wanted to do the voice. I'm Blake Shelton.
You want to do the voice?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No, not me. I want to have them on my team. I've never watched it.
That was good. You were spot on with it.
So yeah. Your specifics are turn the chair and her on your team.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you get the voice.
Yeah.
This is an interesting movie because there's 84 reviews total. And 55% of them are 5-star reviews.
Wow.
Whoa.
What? And you can't find, where are you finding these?
From Amazon.
You have to buy that movie, right?
Well, these are people that are on Amazon that are like, it's like a message board.
They're yeah,
like,
whoever, if they bought it on DVD or if they watched it on the video
they
service.
They don't even have to have bought it to comment.
Yeah,
on
can
it.
I ask a quick question from the crowd? Because I think this is maybe one of those things. Who, like, either from childhood or even now, loved this movie? Oh, okay. Not as many as I thought.
Wow.
Examine your life and the choices you've made.
I'm going to just read a couple of them because they're so short.
Yeah.
This one was written by Joan Jett, the electric guitar hero.
Joan Jett?
Yes.
Wow.
And the title of the review is The Lawnmower Man is a Good Movie. Now you would think from the title the person is confused. But not so much because it goes, now this is one movie I really like. Emilio Estevez plays a very good part in this movie. give it a view. 5 stars. So, Lawnmower Man, wrong title, right actor.
Was Emilio Estevez in the Lawnmower Man? Okay. So she was just cutting and pasting different subject
But do you think maybe the virtual reality kind of elements of it is the connection that this person is drawing?
I don't know. I don't really, yeah, I don't know.
Or is this just like a cry for help?
I feel like
suicide assistance.
They were going through a breakup and they're like, you know what, I'm going to review every one of my DVDs on Amazon. They just got confused, cut and paste. This one's from Kenneth Deal. Wrote, good job. 5 stars.
No, I love that.
C. Willie wrote, another one of those movies that are brought up during talk about movies that you just gotta see. Very good movie. Great actors. And very good movie. I highly recommend this action-packed, full-screen movie.
Wow. So this isn't one of those half-screen movies.
I believe, like, there is an ESL teacher out there going, your homework is to review movies on Amazon.
I bet that's amazing.
And then finally, this one's from Mary. They all are the same. They all seem like people that have suffered blunt trauma to the head. Mary wrote, been looking for this movie for a long time. We'll tell all my friends. Thank you. 5 stars.
It's as if, you know what I feel like is these are people that have been freejacked. Their brains have been taken from them, leaving behind just the vestige of a body, you know?
And finally, this one is a 1-star review, but I wanted to read it because it was kind of great. This piece of crap DVD only plays in my car DVD player. Don't waste your money, people. 1 star. So that's that. As we're wrapping up here.
I love that visual of that guy being like, I want to watch Free Jack, but I don't want to just sit in my car.
It is now time for a third opinion. This one live from Montreal, Miss June Diane Raphael. Here we go.
Hello, New York City. It's your girl, June. I'm two things. I'm bummed not to be there because these shows are so much fun. And I'm deeply relieved to not have to watch this motion picture. Sometimes it's fun, most of the time it's really hard for me to pay attention. Based on, Paul's asked me to talk about what I think this movie might be about. I know nothing about this film, Free Jack. I've never seen a DVD. I've never seen cover art on iTunes. I've never seen a billboard. I haven't seen anything about Free Jack. So this is truly just a guess based on 2 words. I'm gonna guess that this film, and I'm really thinking about it right now for the first time, is potentially about a man named Jack who was imprisoned for many, many years, maybe wrongfully so, and has finished his time and is now out in the world a free Jack. And having to readjust and find, you know, the freedom and space in his mind to be a person in the world. And actually, I feel like I just pitched a movie I'd like to see. Or maybe it's not an animated, but like live action type film about a joker, like a jack and a deck of cards that escapes somehow and enters the world. I guess that seems unlikely. Anyway, either way, I remain thrilled that I didn't have to do this movie. And I am wishing you guys a great night, and I hope to be back doing the show in New York City very soon. Bye.
I am a little visit from June. I will say I do like her pitch for a live-action animated movie about a Jack who escapes the deck of cards. Yeah. Kind of into that. Any final thoughts? Any final thoughts?
Like, we didn't finally, I'm free from the 52.
Anything we didn't discuss that anyone feels that they want to bring?
Yes. These are things that I made mention of that I did not get to talk about.
Okay.
Emilio Estevez gets drunk in a bar. He is one of the most sought after people in town. Gets drunk in a bar and starts talking on television. Why? Don't know. Never puts on a costume. Okay, also, when
there... He does put on the hobo costume.
Sort of. When Rene Russo takes him to the other guy's kind of safe house, are there giant feet sculptures in yes. that house?
I wrote that down.
I couldn't make heads or tails out of that at all.
I was like, very ornate... safe house.
Is this art? Is this what? I couldn't figure the giant feet sculpture. I keep my grandma smiling, is what the guy says to him when he dies.
I wrote down hard cut to Einstein's face on the
yep.
wall.
Yeah.
And I yes. felt like that Einstein face, it was like intelligence isn't important, imagination is. And I felt like that was the director going, see? Like, that makes up for any of that shit. It doesn't make sense, but. I came up with that, and I should be getting something for that.
We have not given an appropriate shout-out to David Johansen.
Who I only want to hear give exposition. All right, kid, here's the deal. You're free, Jacka. Then take your body, and then we go out. Hey, all right.
Like
the
one
same
of my
character from Scrooge.
Absolute favorite people. New York Dolls, all of it. So great. Great to see him. Abba, I feel like I'm louder than I was before, and I'm not sure why. Why is
Anthony Hopkins dressed in a Mark Twain costume at the end?
Yeah.
That's a question.
I also like the casual Skyping of Anthony Hopkins. When he's in the car, he's like kind of looking out the window. He's like, oh, hi. I want to say this. And then he's like, okay, great. Back out the window. Like.
Wait, why do I have this written down? Some of my notes read like a haiku. Why are they saran wrapping him and also what the fuck? Did they put, after they were trying to lobotomize him, they like put a whole thing of saran wrap on top of him. That's how that scene ended.
I don't remember that either.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that saran wrap thing.
They're like trying to keep him contained or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like hold him, yeah.
Yeah.
Susan's saran wrap.
Here is
What did you just say?
All right, we have to wrap up.
What did you just say?
I didn't say anything.
We got to wrap up the show, but
what did you just say?
They heard me.
Avril Halley found Avril Halley, who cuts all of our video clips. She noticed something that they take the James Brown scream from
yes,
I Feel Good.
Yes, I noticed that too.
So here it is, kind of cut in full. So, that's a treat.
The existence of a champagne truck continues to confound me. And that visual alone. I mean, Mick Jagger must haunt him.
He did so few things,
and this is one of them.
All right, so we watch these movies for the reason of doing this podcast. They're fun, bad movies. But would you recommend...
And apparently we hate ourselves.
Would you recommend this movie for this purpose? To enjoy this movie on this level? Is it fun, bad? Is it interesting to watch? Phoebe, what do you think?
Fun, bad, absolutely. Because I need to talk to someone about this. It's fucking ruined my day. It ruined my entire day. So I got to bitch about it with someone. Yeah.
And I think that's the appropriate response. Jessica, what do you think?
This was bad, bad. And I feel like this... however long it was like
an hour 45.
Barefoot Contessa episodes I could have watched back to back and learned real skills about a chicken piccata, and instead I'd watch this piece of shit.
Can I ask
and
a question?
And be made to feel sick.
Can I ask a real question?
Fuck you.
Is she barefoot?
Never. Never.
So that's
you
a,
never
so
see
the
her
show
feet.
From its title is a lie.
That's right.
She's wearing shoes.
Always. Always. You never see her feet. You never, you don't want
then
to.
Then I'm not going to watch it. I only want to watch ladies cook while barefoot. Ugh.
You have one of those foot sculptures at home in your house?
Yeah, you know I do.
Jason?
I'm pretty much no on this. You know what? It would be yes if Emilio Estevez was more charismatic. If it wasn't Emilio Estevez... Did somebody just have a pro... Is Emilio Estevez here?
There is something like... I think like that if, Bruce Willis perfected that, like, every guy... Action
right,
hero
but
guy.
It's not his Emilio's fault. He was
the script
in,
is bad, guys.
Yeah. Oh,
let me be very clear. This is an abysmal movie.
It's not his fault.
And it's not his fault. It would be
lines,
more fun if Nicolas Cage was in this part. It would be more fun if Kurt Russell was. It would just be more fun. That's all I mean. He is kind of negative energy, and so it feels more draggy than I want it to.
Yes.
That's kind of what I mean. And I don't think that would make it a good movie. It would just make it more fun to watch. That's
I'm in
all.
The agreement of that. I feel like there's interesting things in it, but not, it's not to be, yeah, unless you're doing it for this purpose, not to be watched. The tagline of this movie was, time flies, but to survive in the year 2009, or 2009, he'll need to move a lot faster.
That makes no sense.
Clumsy.
That makes as little sense that is, as yeah. the movie
that
does.
That is very clumsy.
The other one was, don't let the future pass you by.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
That those are bad. And just to put it in perspective, this movie came out in 1992. The top three movies were Aladdin, Home Alone 2, and Batman Returns. This came in 71st out of all the movies. It was beaten by Lawnmower Man, Sleepwalkers, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, and Toys.
Do you think in this movie, in the future now, do you consider Emilio Estevez and Rene Russo to be like peers? Like now that they are together, are they the same age? I know they're not, but like
they're gonna live as
they're
such.
Gonna. I think they're gonna have trouble. That 18 year age difference is
it's gonna, not
gonna be
work out.
Real problem for them.
And where are they gonna live?
Gonna live in that antique car?
Yeah.
They're just going to drive, and nibble each other's ears until they eat each other.
I don't care for that either.
Neither.
Nibble, I don't like it
nibble,
at all.
Like the least sexual thing, nibble my ear. Ugh.
Yuck.
Ears are almost as gross as feet.
Not except for barefoot contestants. Yeah. Phoebe, what do you want to plug? You have so much cool stuff going on. You're currently on tour right now.
Yes, I'm on a stand-up tour with Alana Glazer, which is a lot of fun.
You have a new show coming out to HBO?
Yeah, we're doing, Jessica Williams and I are doing 4 Two Dope Queens HBO specials that come out next year. And, that's it.
It's great. And your book is fantastic. If you have not read her book, it's amazing. I actually just lent it to a friend because I think it's so good.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
No problem. And then, Jessica, what do you want to plug?
We got Womp It Up coming back.
Nice.
November 25th, I think, and the last season of Playing House was something I'm really proud of, and so
Woo!
You can get that on iTunes or Amazon. I'm not really sure how to get it. I couldn't find it, but good luck.
I'm sure you can buy it on iTunes.
I think you can.
Yeah, but go buy it. No, beat
All right.
Go buy it on iTunes.
All right, go do
and
it.
And Jason?
I voice a character on the TV show Big Mouth that is on Netflix currently, if you can imagine a world in which I play a 13-year-old boy who fucks his pillow.
Pretty easy.
Then get on board for this show.
And I play your brother who's totally cool.
That's true. That's about it.
And I'll plug a movie that Jason June and I are all in. It's called The Disaster Artist, coming out in a couple weeks. James Franco as Tommy Wiseau. And it's all about the making of The Room. An interesting fact about it is that our podcast of The Room with Greg Sestero was used as research in writing the script of the actual movie. So, thank you all so much for coming. We love you, New York.
Hey, y'all. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And we're the hosts of a brand new show called Unladylike, where we find out what happens when women break the rules.
We'll be bringing you real-world women's stories, along with our own nerdy deep dives, in this weekly investigation of womanhood.
How privileged would you say your abortion was?
Well, okay, I might say like an Ivanka Trump.
Did he just say that? Did he just put us in the same sentence?
If you ask me, like, what my thighs can do you think I'm going to be like, they can have sex with you?
Find the first episode of Unladylike now in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
To access ad-free and bonus episodes, visit unladylike.co/podcast.
Because we got some unladylike things to say.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey there, this is Conan O'Brien. I've got a new podcast on Earwolf. It's called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. You see, over the years, I've talked to thousands of celebrities on my different TV shows, and I always thought I'd become friends with these people. But I haven't. It just hasn't happened. So here's what I'm doing. I'm bringing my favorite funny people on the podcast, and this is great because it's free from FCC regulation. We can talk about whatever we want. They're going to loosen up, and we're really going to bond. And these are terrific people, people I would like to be friends with, people like Kristen Bell and Bill Burr. And my first guest, Will Ferrell. I've always wanted to be best friends with Will Ferrell.
Hi, my name is Will Ferrell. I will make it my crusade and my life's work to tell people to not do this podcast.
You can hear my first episode with Will Ferrell right now. Just find Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend in your podcast app and subscribe so you won't miss a single episode. You have to listen to all of them because at the end, it solves a riddle about why we're all here.